This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Broadband Over Powerline World. We're about to speak to Dave Sumner, who's the CEO of the ARRL. Welcome back to Utopia Media's Broadband Over Powerline World.
Thanks for the opportunity, Mark.
From the beginning of our discussions, you've stressed that the ARRL, Association of Amateur Radio Operators in the U.S., as a group of technically oriented, communications-oriented people, had no objections to a new technology for providing broadband access, just so long as it didn't interfere with their ability to communicate. That's a fair statement, isn't it?
Yes, that's precisely correct.
And it seems now that there may be a new form of broadband over power line, that or new way of implementing it, that may not interfere either technically or procedurally with the operations of your members. Tell us about what's happened.
Well, on Monday, Motorola announced its Powerline LV system. Motorola is using its Canopy wireless technology to get the broadband signal to the pole outside the customer's house, and then using just the low voltage line to go from there into the customer's premises.
So this is really it is broadband over power line. It's broadband over low voltage power line rather than over medium voltage power line, which are the lines that run from the generating station or the distributing station to the neighborhoods and the homes.
That's right, although it still fits within the FCC's definition of access BPL.
Okay. Now, did this come out of the blue, or has Motorola been working with ARRL and individual amateur radio operators to make sure that their system would be acceptable or even favorably viewed by your group?
Motorola has been working with us since last November help them design a system that would avoid the interference problem, or in the event of interference, would provide a satisfactory solution. And while we have not yet seen the system in demonstration, we have every reason to believe that they've accomplished that.
Okay, tell us a little bit about Motorola Canopy broadband internet platform and how that works apart from this, and how it's going to be applied here.
Well, I'm not the expert on that.
Yeah,
what happens is that they have a backhaul to, for example, a cell phone tower.
Right.
And then they have an antenna on the tower, probably at 5 gigahertz in the unlicensed NII band, that can, from that point, reach quite a large area around the cell site. Of course, you can get much better microwave paths to the tops of power poles than you can into people's homes.
Right.
And so they would be able, therefore, to serve quite a few customers out of that one central point.
So, in fact,
add additional sites as demand required.
Right. So, in fact, what it's going to do, it's going to deliver the connection to the internet, the backhaul, the access by wireless means through the air to the tops of telephone poles outside of people's homes, rather than through the wires that run along long stretches where amateur radio operators and others are trying to do what they're doing.
Right, and it's the radiation from the medium voltage lines that has always been our principal concern.
Right, and the transmissions through the Canopy system, the wireless ones, you expect on a sort of basic basis that they're not going to interfere with amateur radio operations.
That's right. That's just implementing an existing plan for unlicensed wireless broadband. So that's
The frequency.
That's simply extending an existing technology to a new application.
Right, and that existing technology operates at frequencies that don't interfere with ham radio operators.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, what's HomePlug, and how does it fit into the picture?
Well, HomePlug is an industry standard for a in-home BPL modem.
Right.
And the HomePlug standard was developed also, this is a couple of years ago, also with technical input from ARRL that resulted in the amateur frequency bands between 4 and 21 megahertz. That's the range that HomePlug uses.
Right.
But they have notched the amateur bands in that range.
And they've notched the
With one minor exception that, right. that doesn't violate the principle here.
Right. And so they've notched it so that the home plug part of the process is not going to interfere with amateur radio operations either.
Well, in most cases that would be true, although there's some potential for ingress interference from amateurs. That still has to be...
Ingress meaning that the amateur radio operators are going to be interfering with the home plug part?
Right, and of course as a Part 15 device, the home plug device has to tolerate any interference it receives. It's not
right.
entitled to
Are you guys going to notch your transmissions to solve that problem?
Well, no, we can't do that, okay. and we're not obligated to. But
okay.
We don't have to, in Motorola's case at least, because they are, in addition to using HomePlug, they are also using hardware analog filters in the line to add additional isolation. So they're taking something of a belt and suspenders approach to
right.
the problem.
And how does the canopy system interface with the home plug part of the system?
Well, that's done at the, as I understand it, that's done at the top of the power pole. You have a little microwave antenna up there that receives the signal from the canopy system
right.
and goes directly into the modem that's connected to the low voltage side of the transformer.
Right.
And the transformer itself isolates that signal from the medium voltage line.
Right, okay. So in fact, what's happened here is that our good old friend radio transmission of signals is come to the rescue of this particular problem.
That's correct. And Motorola's done one additional thing because there are some cases where even doing this, there would still be some radio interference problems. For example, if you were a serious shortwave listener and you liked to receive foreign broadcasts from overseas,
right.
the home plug standard does not protect the shortwave broadcasting bands. And so in that particular case, you might encounter interference from the Motorola system. But if that were to happen, they just reach into their bag of tricks and pull out a Wi-Fi or some other wireless connection,
right.
and problem solved. And they can do that on a case-by-case basis, and we're quite comfortable with the idea of resolving that level of interference problem on a case-by-case basis. The problem with the BPL in general up to this point is that when it's on the medium voltage lines, there simply is no way to deal with it case by case.
Is it also going to be possible, it seems to me, if the canopy system is putting internet accessibility on the power lines outside people's homes, it could be delivered into the homes by Wi-Fi as well as by BPL, couldn't it?
Yes, that's what I just suggested would
right.
be their ultimate fallback.
Right.
And,
or it could be a first choice, even, couldn't it?
In some cases, it might well be. I can't really speak to that part
right.
of their business plan, but
right.
Certainly, conceptually, you can see how that would work.
Okay. Now, how has ARRL reacted to this announcement from Motorola?
Well, as I've said, we were not surprised by it. We were expecting it because we've been working with Motorola all along.
Oh, they made this announcement at Telecom 2005, right?
Yes.
Okay, in Long Beach.
Yes, and they announced it in the morning, and in the afternoon we put out a release saying that we were very pleased to see the announcement. We understand that the first installation is going to be done in South Carolina, outside of Spartanburg, and Motorola is continuing its cooperation with the amateur community, looking for amateurs in that area who could participate in tests.
Now, were
in
you
the area.
Were you at the Long Beach meeting, or were there people from ARRL there? And did they were they able to sense what the feeling among the industry people was among the utilities about whether they welcome this as heartily as you seem to be welcoming?
Well, Ed Hare of our technical staff was at the Long Beach meeting.
Right.
I don't know really what the power industry response to
okay.
it has been. I know that among our people, the response has been very enthusiastic, because we hate to just be always negative. We want to find solutions to problems, but Motorola's is the first one that seems to have the promise of being a comprehensive solution.
Now, the two things that the utility companies wanted to get out of this was, one, internal monitoring and control of their own networks, and secondly, added revenue from providing broadband access to customers. The utility companies own the pole to the home connection just as much as they own the medium voltage distribution wires, so this ought to be just as useful to them, both for the monitoring and the BPL access, as the medium voltage solution might have been, isn't it?
I would certainly think so. I have seen comments following the announcement to the effect that, well, because the signal isn't carried on the medium voltage wires, you can't use that system to tell you when there's an outage, but frankly, that's counterintuitive to me. I would think that if you were trying to report an outage, you would want to use a separate communications link.
Right, because it wouldn't be out.
That's right. I mean, if the wire's down, you don't have any way of reporting back. But if you if the power is out in your neighborhood, and you have even just a little battery backup on your Motorola Powerline LV, you should be able to communicate back, and the power company should be able to know that. But here you're getting into an area that is really outside our expertise.
Okay. What does this mean, if anything, for the ongoing back and forth among the some of the utility companies and the ARRL and the FCC? Is this going to in any way impact the studies that are being called for and the reprocessing of regulations and so on that's been ongoing for many months now?
Well, what it should do is to show the FCC that they were much too lenient in their report and order on BPL, because clearly it is possible to do BPL without having to run systems that pollute the high-frequency radio spectrum.
Are you going to withdraw any of the filings?
Oh no! On the contrary, we feel that this clearly establishes that we're right in saying that the FCC is too lenient in its emissions limitations. The basic problem with the FCC report and order on BPL is that they took an emission limit that is appropriate for a narrow band, short duration emitter, such as a garage door opener, something that you don't use very often.
Right.
And they've applied it to a broadband system that impacts literally megahertz of radio spectrum essentially all the time. So, you know, you take an emission standard for a little pulse every so often, and then you say, well, okay, let's just use the same limit, only now you're, instead of just having a little pulse, you're filling the entire shortwave radio spectrum with that signal,
right,
24 hours a day.
So specifically, what's the gist of what you're asking the FCC to do, and how do you feel that the advent of this Powerline LV from Motorola is going to make your case more persuasive?
Well, we asked the FCC to set a much lower limit on the radiation of BPL energy from the power line.
Can you express concisely what that lower limit is?
It would be about 30 dB lower than what they now specify. That would be enough to bring it down to the point where you could reasonably deal with the remaining interference issues on a case-by-case basis.
And from what you know of the Motorola Powerline LV system, would it be compliant with these new lower standards? Or higher standards?
Certainly in the amateur bands it would be.
Okay. All right. So what's the next, what's the timetable now for the FCC's consideration of the various matters before it in this area?
Well, there is no timetable at this point. The petition for reconsideration, but there are actually more than one, the petition for reconsideration are not, there's no deadline for the commission to consider them. No one has asked for a stay of the new rules. We don't want the new rules to be delayed because, although they're inadequate, they are better than the present rules.
Right.
And so they're scheduled to come into effect on July 6th or 7th, something like that.
Right.
At which point the BPL industry has to have its database up and running so that the location of BPL systems can be registered 30 days in advance of their being activated.
Okay, one last item. Arkansas Representative Mike Ross has put together a legislation, HR, House Resolution 230. Is ARRL involved in lobbying for that at all, and what's the status and prospects for that legislation?
Yes, we are aware of that. We're very grateful to Congressman Ross for introducing the House resolution.
Tell our listeners in essence what it calls for.
Well, what it calls for is a sense of the Congress that the commission should go back and do an in-depth study of the interference issue and then reconsider its rules in light of those additional studies.
And
okay. Well, what the Motorola development this week again points out that BPL can be implemented. This is the first time that it's been clear that BPL can be implemented without impacting at least amateur radio users, and also it removes a lot of the concern about public safety services because the Motorola system does not use the low-band VHF segment that is used by public service agencies and public safety agencies.
And that's a primary consideration in Congressman Ross's bill, the
yes,
public safety.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so why don't you wrap up by telling us what kind of difference you think that the advent of the Powerline LV system for Motorola is going to make in the whole debate and the whole deployment of BPL and its relationship to amateur radio operators?
Well, number one, it should cause anyone who's been looking at systems that use the HF frequency range, the shortwave frequency range for the medium voltage lines, to reconsider and abandon that approach because if you use the medium voltage lines to carry shortwave radio energy,
right,
which is what a number of the other BPL companies are doing, interference is inevitable. It's simply inevitable because the signals, the desired signals at a shortwave radio receiver are so weak compared to the level of interference. I've heard it myself. I've been to Briarcliff Manor, New York. I've been to Shelton, Connecticut. The level of interference in those two locations is simply shocking.
Right. And so overall, are you pretty pleased with this development?
We're very encouraged. We hope that anybody thinking about BPL will think in the direction that Motorola has laid out and abandon the uses that abandon the approaches that use the shortwave radio spectrum on the overhead lines.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for talking to us, and we'll check in again as this develops and see what's going on then.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
I think Alan wants to. Oh.
Oh, but I'm gonna say goodbye and sign off, and if he wants to talk to me, that's good too.
Okay.
But not,
great.
Not on the air. Thanks very much again.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.